listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 welcome to today's LA Talk Radio show, Your Ultimate Life. I'm going to put this up here in a different place on the screen because I'm going to change it out a couple of times today. We're going to talk about something that's coming in January that we'll talk about over the next little while, several episodes, different versions of it. And here's what it is. The reason I breathe, right? I was just talking to Sam for a minute just before this about something that happened to me 5 years ago when I died in the hospital. And I had some conversations with God at the door between life and eternity. And the interesting thing about that is the choice that I had to come back, which I made. And that I've told that story before, and if you're interested in it, you should read the book Meeting God at the Door, Conversations, Choices, and Commitments of a Near-Death Experience. And it was real, and it really happened, and here I am. But what it's done for me is it's brought me back in a place where I am really clear about why I'm here. I'm really clear about what I do. And, you know, we talk about finding purpose in life, you know, finding your meaning and your purpose. And we've talked about that in other episodes. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time today talking about finding purpose. And I might on another one because it's so important. I talk to people because I'm a coach and I choose my profession to be a coach. Why would I do that? I could be an author. I am an author. I've got 19 books and 6 more underway. I can be a speaker. Yeah, I speak at a lot of events. I've done probably 20 events this year, and I've got at least that many going for next year. And so I may do all of those, but it's really in service of one thing, okay? And here's an interesting thing. Here's the one thing it's in service of. You know that there are times in your life where you have felt intuition, nudges, ideas, inspiration, your higher self, you know that you have felt those. You also know that you've ignored a lot of them. You also know that you've paid attention to some, maybe only a few. You know that they're sometimes, in fact, quite often scary, because sometimes you feel like you ought to do something that's maybe counterintuitive or what you weren't expecting. I know that's happened to you. You know what? What if you learn to cultivate that? What if you intentionally chose to learn to cultivate your intuition? Okay? And intuition, we'll just give it a name, right? Intuition or inspiration or, you know, nudges, spirit nudges. You can call them whatever you want. But what they are is the divine force, God, the universe, that divine force that is the creative force, trying to tell us something, trying to say, hey, here's an idea. Hey, you might want to do this. Well, if you start with the idea and you know, okay, that's always for our good. It's always driving us in or inviting us, this is a real word, inviting us in a direction that will be powerful, uplifting, maybe difficult, a learning experience. Lots of our learning experiences are a pain in the butt, but it's always for our growth and development. So since we know that, then the only time we would say no, ignore the invitations, or reject the intuition is because we're scared. Or we might be arrogant. Well, I know better than God what ought to happen. So yeah, screw you. I'm not paying attention. That's pretty arrogant. Now, we all have probably done that. I've certainly ignored a boatload of those in my life. I ignored them regularly before my sort of radical transformation in 2007, 16 years ago, when I left one whole career and part of my life behind and moved in a new direction. But again, that's not the topic of today's conversation. Today, we're talking about how you add good to the world. When I died and had the conversations with God, I'd already decided to be a coach. I was already well established in a coaching business. I was doing things. I had clients on multiple continents, clients in Australia, clients in North America, which includes Mexico and Canada, clients in Europe. So not everywhere, like I've never had a client in Japan, but I've had clients on lots of continents and in lots of places. I chose to be a coach because I was rescued by coaching. And by rescued, I mean I had a lot of success in my life, big shot, executive and stuff. But I'd also made a mess out of my life, 3 divorces and a lot of drug abuse and addictions and a lot of rehab stints. And that was all before 2007. After I decided, I made a personal choice, I'm not that guy anymore. I don't know what I have to do. I don't know who I have to talk to. I don't know where I have to get help, but I'm done being that guy. I'm going to be a new guy. And that was just on me. Nobody threatened me. Nobody said you're going to, I'd had enough. So I had to go get all the help I needed. And that meant I had to go see shrinks, and I experimented with antidepressants, many different kinds, therapies, and so forth, because I'd neglected my own health, mental health, my own self-image, my own caring for my heart and soul. I'd neglected that for my whole life up until I was 52, and I was living sort of someone else's script for what I ought to do. You know how that is, right? You're doing what you think you're supposed to do, what the official thing is, go here, do this, do that. And you're never happy doing that, never. You're happy when you identify who you really want to be, and then you go do that. Now, this is where those nudges come in. Because we're divine beings, I mean, we're created on purpose. We're not here by accident. Okay, this world, this organization, you know, we may or may not like all the pieces of it. Like, gee, lots of it are really hard and lots of grumpy things go on in the world. We may not like parts of that. Point is, it's not an accident. The benefit of our time here is growth. The benefit of our time here is learning. I get asked all the time when I'm on other people's shows, and I do that a lot, and I love being guests on other shows. I've been on 300 or more, maybe as many as 400 in the last 2 years. So one, in fact, I was just this afternoon, I recorded a podcast episode with a fellow from New York called Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. And it was a fun episode. We got to talk about some of these things, about who we are choosing to be. Now, the thing that I'm doing in January is for us who are coaches, because after dying in 2018, and even before that, after my whole life change in 2007, and I know there's a lot of dates here, but just that's when it started, I made a choice. Look, somebody helped me. I was offered, an invitation by the divine to change my life. I accepted it. Nobody did the work for me. I had to do it myself. So I did that. And then I realized, I've been in an executive position. I've made a lot of money and had a lot of prominent positions, but, I wasn't really happy. When I've been really happy in life is when I was serving, when I was choosing to use my life experience, which in my case was a lot of disasters, but choosing to use my life experience and the gifts that I've been blessed with to serve. So I can make you a promise. If you choose to serve with your gifts, your skills, and your life experience, you can have more impact than anything else you can do. I want you to hear that. The skills you've already developed, combined with your natural gifts, combined with your life experience, kind of like a triple helix DNA kind of thing, right? Skills, gifts, your natural gifts, your life experience. If you weave those together, you can have a bigger impact in this world, right here, right now, than anything else you could offer. Now, in addition to having a big impact, you can make a living, a good living. In fact, you can make as much as you want to, because money follows value, and it's just a question of creating value. Now, I'm not saying this stuff just to sort of taunt you and then not tell you how, but in one episode here, we don't have time to go into the details. So here's your first invitation. If you want to know how to make money using your life experience, your skills, and your gifts, reach out and connect with me. I'd be happy to tell you. I've got books. I've got courses, all kinds of ways. That's what I do. I've taken the skills that I had from my career, my life experience, and natural gifts, and I now have created a business that is joyful. It's fun. I'm having a big impact, and I'm making a good living. So there's nothing special about me. You can do that too. In fact, my goals are so aggressive that this year, and my year started October 14th, which was 6 weeks ago, this year I'm committed to helping 250 million people. You heard me right, 250 million to discover their own gifts, their own set of experiences, and help them choose to add good to the world, to create impact and income. So that's what I'm about. And the way I chose to do that was to become a coach. Now, what the heck is a coach? A coach is someone who's in the people encouragement business. I want you to think about professional sports for a moment. Every professional team are in football season. So you see the games and the coach of this and strength coach and agility and the head coach and the training coach. And they've even got mindset coaches. Mindset coaches? What has that got to do with a football game? Well, I'll tell you. Mindset is actually the master skill, because your belief in your possibility is your ultimate enabler or your ultimate limitation. If you don't have a belief that what you dream is possible, you won't try. If you do, it'll be half-hearted, like dabbling your foot in the water, and you'll fail. Mindset is the master key. What you believe you can do. Now, here's the rub about that. It's easy to say, okay, I can, I think I can. But if you have a deep belief driven by a lot of failure or experiences in the past where you've been told you're not good enough, just saying it to yourself isn't going to cut it. That's why just running a series of affirmations over and over again isn't usually very effective. There's deeper work to do, because the negative beliefs about your capability, possibility, skills, success, options, and all that stuff is way deeper and has been going on a long time. So working on that is one of the most joyful and fun things I do as a coach, because when a person goes, when you go from believing you can't, doubting your ability, being afraid to try, embarrassed, failure, etc., to knowing you can succeed, there's nothing more fun for me than to see a person go from defeated to victorious, from the underdog to the championship. And isn't that, we all love those stories, right? Whether they're sports-related stories about the team that can't to doing it, Invictus, story about the rugby team, and you know, all kinds of them. We love those. Why do we love them? Because they resonate with our own feelings. It's easy to say because we cheer for the underdog. Yeah, we do. Okay, fine. Why? Because we all feel at times like the underdog. And we want to see the possibility of the underdog going through the hardships and getting to the top. That's what I love about being a coach, because I get to help people do that. I've got success stories you wouldn't believe. I had one call with a fellow once. And he happened to also be a coach, but he could have been anything. And he was getting ready to do a presentation, a sales call to sell a product. And everything he'd done up to then was small numbers, $500, $1,000, $2,000. And he wanted this time to do something for $12,000. And he didn't have the courage. He didn't think he could do it, and on and on and on. So we talked about it. And we did the work that I will do with people. And he went on and did that. Called me back and told me he'd done it. 6 times larger than anything he'd ever done before. And that wasn't an isolated case. I have that repeated over and over and over and over and over again. I have a client right now. It's been a client for 10 years. He's gone from considering suicide, living depressed and not sure of his own worth, having one business that was barely getting by, and I mean barely, to having multiple businesses. One of them is an international business. And I had his coaching call today, and he was talking about in 5 years, he's going to have an exit strategy that includes a buyout for umpteen million of one of his businesses. He's created generational wealth that he'll be able to pass on to, you know, his kids and kids' kids and all that stuff. that is an enormous transition. I can't even imagine the number, like 10 times, 50, 100 times more prosperous because of the believing and doing the work. So that's why I'm a coach. I love facilitating that. You know why? Because it came out of my own life. I had such a negative feeling, a negative belief, a disaster of an attitude, boatloads of failure in my own life, even though I had financial success. You know, I'm an attempted suicide person, survivor twice. But I changed my life and accomplished success with the help of coaches. And so I thought, man, I have got to do that work and be that kind of blessing to people. Now, because I'm a coach, I have the opportunity to talk to a lot of coaches. I'm in groups on Facebook and LinkedIn of people who have decided they want to help that way. Well, I love people who are coaches. You know why? Because they have made a commitment with their heart and soul to be part of the group of people that add good to the world, that live, that make a living being not cheerleaders, support systems, encouragers. I got a bunch of fun names for coaching. I call it obstacle obliteration business, anxiety annihilation business. I call it the people encouragement business. I call it blind spot protection service. I have another 10 of those kind of fun names. Motivation manufacturing business is another one, and I can't think of the rest right now, but I think I have about a dozen. And they're all this sort of positive vibe. But the thing is, it's not just a bunch of woo-woo gobbledygook where we say positive fun things and say, you can do it, you can do it. That's not what it is. It's about helping an individual, think of a sports team, identify their inner strength, leverage the years of practice, and add to it a winning mindset so that they can overcome that mental challenge, because the mental lack of preparation and focus is what kills more performances than anything. Ask any star athlete. When you watch the Olympics and you watch the performers who get the gold, you can see those who have absolute focus and perform in flow and those who had a mental fraction of a second lapse. I remember a few years ago when Shaun White won his last, the snowboarder, half-pipe snowboarder, won his last gold medal, and that's been, I think, two Olympics. And I remember that one because I actually met Shaun a few years before that when I took a four-day, I don't remember, Grand Prix racing course at the Bondurant Speedway in Phoenix. I had bought a hot rod, and I wanted to learn how to drive it, so I took a four-day Grand Prix course. And lo and behold, Shaun White was there with an entourage, right? Because he was already a high-powered snowboarding guy, but he hadn't won the Olympics yet. But anyway, so since I met him and saw him, I paid attention a lot when he did his snowboarding career. And the last Olympics that he was in, I watched the snowboarding, of course, really carefully. And he does half-pipe competition, all that twisting and spinning and 360, 720, 1080, 1900 million spins, and I don't know all the numbers. But what I saw was that absolute mental preparation. And the announcer was astounded, and they did the slow-mo kind of thing where they overlaid one or two of the other competitors' runs with Shaun's, and, you know, they go down the thing, and then they go across the pipe and then up in the air. That very first one, the amount of height they get above the half pipe wall is a measure of how much speed they've gained and how much speed they're going to continue to have to do the tricks. And all the tricks that they do, the number of spins and so forth, that depends on how long they're airborne. Well, when they overlaid him, Shaun's run had him up in the air at least 6 feet or more higher on that first lip than the highest one that had ever done. I mean, it was astounding, and you could see the mental focus and preparation. On the other hand, a fraction of a second of the lapse, whether you're doing half pipe on the snowboard or whether you're hitting a golf swing, a fraction of a second mental lapse, a baseball swing, a basketball shot, or even a speech, anything, when you lose that mental focus, you're finished. For a few seconds and maybe completely. But in an intense sport thing, that's the run. That's it. You're finished. You crash. So the mental game is so important. And as a coach, that's the thing I work on the most. The techniques of selling more, of learning to sell, of prospecting, of building business, creating a new product, those are easy. Those are known processes and steps. The magic is in the mind. The mystery is in the mindset. And that's why I love this work so much. So I told you I was going to tell you about something that's happening in January. Because I am a coach and because I love coaching so much, I do special events for coaches. And I do special events for other groups of people that are trying to accomplish things. And I coach, my client base is not all coaches. In fact, it's less than half of them, maybe a third. But I have a soft spot for them. So here's what I'm doing in January. I'm doing an event, and the event is called, and I'm going to put it up there. There it is. This event is called, it's called Love 'em, Coach 'em, Sign 'em. And there's the URL, www.lovecoachsignem.com. And here's what it is. This is a fight. It's on January 15th, 16, 17, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And here's what it is. And it's the fifth or sixth time I've done this over the last couple of years. And I just finished one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And in that one 2 weeks ago, I got a bunch of coaches, 25 or 30 that were part of the group. And I walk through a system that talks about how to fill your practice, how to actually get the clients you need. And it works for others besides coaches, but this particular challenge is focused on coaches. And here's why. For some reason, and I'll tell you what the reason is in a minute, when we're coaching someone, when you're trying to help someone, it's easy if you're just doing it for a gift, for free, for just serving. But when it comes to creating business, when it comes to closing the deal and getting someone to agree to enter into a professional relationship with you as a coach, all bets are off. It feels squirmy. It feels awkward. Coaches over and over and over again, you know, they hate this. And they here's the business of coaching. One side is the serving part where they get to have coaching calls and help people with their mindset and their other issues and et cetera, et cetera. And then this other side is the prospecting and selling part. And they hate that. And they don't know how to do it well. And so they avoid it. And then when the clients that they have come near the end, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever their coaching length relationship is, finally, when it's almost over, they talk about renewals, and then they go out and start prospecting. And so their income and their business goes up and down, and it's a feast or famine kind of a thing. And there are other kinds of folks that do that too, people that have to get their own clients in insurance and financial services, et cetera, because there's this fear of selling. There's this disease that we have about creating a business relationship. Some people even say it asking for money. And so what I love to do in this week-long challenge is help them understand how to do prospecting and closing clients with ease so that there's no squirminess, no awkward energy at all. Just evaporates. Now, if you're a coach or you know a coach, it's a very simple question. I had an interview earlier today with a woman from England that I had never met. And guess what? This isn't a coaching platform or anything. It's just a networking app. And I met this person, and it turns out she's a coach. And In the course, I learned a lot. I asked a lot of questions. And in the course of the conversation, I asked if her coaching practice was full. And there was the inevitable pause. Well, not full. And it wasn't the answer, well, not full, that was the thing. It was the pause and the energy. Like, well, it should be full, and I'm a little embarrassed that it isn't. And, you know, that kind of feeling a little bit. And I felt sad because the need for encouragement, the need for the kind of love, support, and encouragement offered by a good coach is infinite. There are so many people in so many parts of life who need a kind of encouraging framework that coaching provides. So anyway, we proceeded to talk about it, and you know, I gave her some thoughts and ideas about how to do stuff, and it was a wonderful and good conversation. But it just reinforced the need that there is to help people understand that when you sell something, you're not asking for money. When you go to the grocery store and buy, the grocery store is not asking for money. They've set up a business to trade your energy for their energy. The energy they have looks like a loaf of bread. The energy that you have looks like a $5 bill. So you trade your $5 bill for a loaf of bread. That's all that you're doing. And you go to the doctor's office. I did today. I went earlier today to the doctor's office, ear, nose, and throat guy, because I've had some sinus trouble in the last few months. So I've seen him two or three times, and they took an x-ray, et cetera, et cetera. When I go there, there isn't any squirminess about exchange of money. It is payment for a valuable service. So if you're a coach and there's awkwardness, any awkwardness at all about the exchange of money, then what that means is there hasn't been a mutual understanding about the exchange of value. It's really simple. You have not yet created that understanding about an exchange of value. Now, it's more difficult in a coaching situation than it is buying bread, because we all know what bread is. We all know what it tastes like. We all know that it's going to fill our tummies. We all know that. And so that's already established. So that it's different in the context of coaching. Most people haven't had coaches. And even if they have, maybe it was a good experience and maybe it wasn't. It's like you go to the store and you buy cheese and you get home and it's moldy. We have to take it back and exchange it. So our opportunity as coaches is really simple. And here's the question you ask yourself: what do I need to do as a coach so that the person that I'm talking to has an experience that screams value, that screams really good bread, that screams, this will really take away my hunger or help me solve my whatever problem, time management problem, product sales problem, organization problem, employee morale problem, relationship problem, finding a job problem, whatever the problem is, the experience that they have with you as a coach needs to feel like eating bread, meaning I had this experience. I ate the bread. Wow, I'm good. I now know what it feels like. When that kind of exchange of experience takes place, then trading money for additional coaching, meaning more of that same experience, is very simple. And it's very obvious and it's very easy. What happens with coaches most of the time is they want to rush right to the exchange of value, pay me, hurry up, sign up, before the potential client has had a bite of bread. They don't know what it tastes like. They don't know what it feels like. They haven't seen the reduction in hunger that they experience from eating the bread, the service that you offer. Your coaching is your service. One of the mistakes I see coaches make all the time, and I used to make it. So all of the learning that I'm sharing in my Love 'Em, Coach 'Em, Sign 'Em challenge, Love, Coach, Sign 'Em, that you've got there on the screen, comes from hard-won experience. I used to be terrible at closing also. But that was before I learned that they had to have a bite. And what does have a bite means? It means you engage in real service. I don't even think about creating a client relationship until I have coached them, till we've identified the problem that they'd like to work on, that they have, not me, they have brought something up. This is what I like to fix. We have begun work on that problem, and they have experienced substantial progress, breakthrough, right, in some language. They've experienced that. And so when they think, okay, wow, I had a problem. I was stuck in some way, not seeing a solution here, not knowing exactly what to do. I had a conversation with Kellen. In that conversation, some stuff happened. I now see a real possibility. I have an action plan and something I believe that is different. Different than I thought of on my own, different than I've done before. And I have high expectation that this will create progress. Now, several things have happened in that bite of bread, so to speak. As we talked, it was apparent that we got along well. In other words, the style of communication was clear and effective. Otherwise, we wouldn't have communicated well. They also got the experience in having that bite of bread that I had something that was nutritious, valuable to offer them. And I'm mixing the bread and the coaching analogy, but they experienced that it did something. It worked. They also experienced that workingness, that value only happened when we were talking. So the logical conclusion, there's two logical conclusions. One, okay, my problem's solved and I don't need anything anymore. In which case you wish them well and send them on their way with your heart full of love and gratitude you got to serve. The more likely thing is that it was a much bigger problem related to other problems and other barriers, and they've experienced real progress, but in that process also seen, you know, this progress only happened when we were in conversation. So if I want to solve it further, better, bigger, or solve the related problems faster and in a more efficient way, I need to have more of these magical conversations, because that is the framework in which this took place. And that means, wow, this is really helpful. How do we do more of this? So what I tell coaches that I'm helping, that I'm teaching and mentoring, is this. I say, I never propose. I never say, would you like to hire me or anything like that? What I do instead is wait for them to ask. And they do all the time. And they do because we've had a conversation that gave them a bite of bread. We've had a conversation that allowed them to see a solution they didn't see before. So they experienced the value. They said, oh, this is real valuable. Then I go on with them and talk. So if you solve this problem, what will that do for you? Wow, then I'll be able to close clients, create my own clients in half the time, or improve my conversion rate, or have a completely different relationship conversation than I've had before because we've been stuck around this area. And that's true in partnerships, in business partnerships, personal partnerships, with parents, with kids, all of those things, it's the same thing. So that's one of several missing pieces that coaches stumble over. And the reason they do is they're too worried about what the potential client thinks of them. Have I been impressive? Do I look good? Ooh, did I say something cool? Did I ask a powerful question? All of that stuff, and they haven't realized that the conversation's not about me as a coach. It's about the potential client, and did they have a breakthrough or solve a problem or get an insight that is valuable and worthwhile for them? So that's a long explanation to explain one of several problems that I used to have that I now no longer do because I've learned through my own development process how to do it. So that right there is the reason that I created the Love Them, Coach Them, Sign Them challenge. And the one we ran 2 weeks ago, like I said, at 25 or 30 folks sign up. And we've created a new group, a new small group coaching cohort that is now starting their 90-day coaching process. And some of them have already created some successful closing client conversations because they have completely revamped their approach. So I started on that explanation because of how excited I am about the coaching profession, how excited I am about this thing that I offer that allows coaches, which I said, I believe we need a million more of, but they got to be good coaches. And they got to be able to create business, because if they don't, then they're going to go out of business. And then they're going to go back to doing things, you know, some job they don't really like. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of jobs over the years that paid well, paid a lot of money in some cases, but they weren't fulfilling because I didn't think I was adding good to the world. Coaching is the one thing I've been able to do that really obviously, clearly, demonstrably adds good to the world, and it feels like I'm making a difference. So that is a long explanation about something that's coming January 15th. If you're a coach or you know a coach and your practice isn't full, or you have squirmy conversations around money, or you hate to prospect, or you hate the idea of selling, or any of those things, we can eliminate that entirely, 100%, period. Go to that URL, www.lovecoachsignum.com. Sign up for January, and I'll see you then in that one. And it'll be a joy to meet you and a joy to get connected with one more powerful, beautiful person that has chosen to be in the people encouragement business. Now, I want to switch gears entirely and talk about something completely different, which is another thing that I really, really love to do and an area where I love to coach. One of the things that happened to me after I completely revamped my life in 2008, after the miraculous stuff in 2007, was I began to write. I never considered myself an author for the first 52 years of my life. I wrote some technical papers and some stuff, but I never really, being an author was the furthest thing from my mind. After I decided to become a coach, I realized that the stories that I had in my life could be valuable for instruction, valuable for encouragement, valuable for people to know, to see what's possible. Because coaching and growth is all about change. Because, you know, Einstein's thing, if we keep doing what we're doing now, we're going to keep getting the same result. When I was a couple, 3 years into this change and growth process, I realized, you know, I have some life experiences and stories that would be really valuable if I wrote them down. So I began to entertain the idea of writing a book. And so I started. And now I've written many. I've written 19 books. On the way, I realized two things. One, I have a really good system for helping people write books. And I created it for myself. So I have a really good system for writing books. People would ask me often, how do you write so many books? And I thought about that, tried to answer well. And I thought, okay, I actually have a good system. A system that's valuable, that works well, and that never fails. And this is for writing nonfiction. I'm not talking about writing fiction here. But people that want to tell their life story in a way that is helpful to others. What I also learned is that there's a ton of people who seem drawn to the coaching profession or with a desire to be of service, consulting, and other things that have life stories worth telling. Life stories worth telling because of the help that they'll offer to others. And another conversation, and it's funny because these happen to me every single day. So I can say, today, earlier today, again, another conversation about with a person who has a story in their life, how they made changes and transitions. And of course, I ask if they had written anything. Have you written down this story, these choices you made, this resilience you exhibited, this growth that you both discovered and clawed into with your effort and diligence? Well, of course, no. And then came the inevitable doubts. I'm not sure I really have anything valuable. I don't know if the story I have to tell, I don't know if anybody would read it. I don't know if it's worth much anyway. I don't know how to do this. I have no idea where to begin. And on and on and on. So here was, this was the genesis of another book that I wrote, and it's also another different kind of challenge that I hold. But the book that I wrote is called The Story Arc. And it looks like this. And this is a book that I have to help you write a book. If you feel like your life story has twists and turns and valuable lessons that would help the right people, not everybody, I can't help everybody, neither can you, but there is a group of people who need to hear your voice, who need to hear your story of resilience and growth, who need to see the hardships and struggles that you've been through, because your unique experience, your unique voice, your unique way of talking, your unique way of relating is exactly what they need to hear. There are people that there would not be a good client fit for me, but they might for you. And so one of the things that I love doing also is helping people write their books. And that means getting over this is mindset stuff we talked about in the beginning, the stories that I don't really have anything valuable to say. The story that says, nobody would read it anyway. The story that says, well, I'm not important enough to write a book. You know, that kind of feeling. So those barriers have to be eliminated first. Because if you're living in the energy of, I can't do this, that's like a golfer who right before the swing breaks concentration and gets uptight because somebody's watching. And so what do? They shank it or they hook it or whatever, right? And it's completely in the wrong place. Why? Because for a microsecond, they lost focus. Trying to write a book, if you're filled with doubts and fears, makes it way more difficult. So after I had written several books, I realized, hey, I've got a really good system. And every time I would answer the question that someone would ask, so I go to a lot of events and stuff, how do you write so many books? I would get a napkin and I would draw a picture. And the picture that I would draw is the principles that I teach in that book, The Story Arc. So I finally decided, hey, I should write that book, the book about how to write books. And sure enough, with this conversation with this person earlier today, they thought they should write a book, maybe, but they were filled with those same doubts and fears. So I showed them the process and talked to them about the value they could create by writing the book that was sitting on their heart. And by the time we got done talking, they were excited. They were excited, and I think they're going to go get the book on Amazon. But I didn't do that because I care about selling a book. I care about helping that person say yes to the yearning, to listen to that intuition that we talked about to start with. And I believe that I'll be able to do that. They were pretty wound up and excited by the end of the call. And who knows, they may join the next book challenge. Now, the book challenge has a different name. It's called Dream, Build, Write It. www.dreambuildwriteit.com. Now, I don't think that challenge is set up on there right now. I don't know that we've picked the next dates, but it'll be out in the spring next year, in February or March. February's not spring. Believe me, we know that here in Edmonton. But anyway, either in February or March, we're going to do Dream, Build, Write It and help another group of people get on their journey to writing books. The reason I'm mentioning these challenges is because it is one of the most fun ways for me to offer the kind of help, reach the 250 million. It is one of the most powerful ways for you to get the information, the skills, and the encouragement. Hear that. Information is something we need, but that's mostly free. Skills comes with seeing some kind of demonstration, and encouragement is the biggest thing. More dreams are killed by, oh, I don't think it'll be good enough. What if I fail? What if they laugh at me? What if I suck? More dreams are killed by that frame of mind than anything else. So if you are a coach, if you are an author, or a wanna-author, a wannabe coach, if you feel called to serve, then I encourage you to say yes. I want to go clear back now to the beginning where we started, which is those nudges. You get them. Isn't it time you say yes? Isn't it time you say, you know what, I'm going to give in to those feelings. I don't know how. I don't know where to start. But I'm going to say yes. So I say, I pronounce, I declare yes. I'm going to do the thing I feel called and drawn to do. Here's my invitation. My commitment is to help 250 million people say yes and begin that journey. Whether you use my help or not, my goal is to encourage you to say yes. Now, I have something free for you just because you listened to this today. And this is a tool. Because most of the discouragement that comes our way is because we're afraid of something. And I call this free product www.masteryourmonsters.com. When we were kids, and you know, we thought maybe monsters were under the bed or in the closet or something, you know, and so we had some fear. He made a movie about that, Monsters, Inc., right? When we grow up and we're adults, we know there's nobody under the bed and we know there's nobody in the closet. But you know what? You've still got monsters. They just changed names. I don't have time, monster. It's not my season, monster. It's not my fault, monster. The procrastination monster. The not good enough monster. The what if nobody cares monster. I have no time monster. All of those are real life monsters that eat your lunch. So what I did is I created a course. I think there's a dozen parts in there to tackle these monsters, to acknowledge them, and also to give you some concrete strategies to overcome those monsters. No matter what you're trying to do in your life, not if you're not writing a book or you're not a coach, fine, but you have the monsters that are in the way of you doing the thing you feel called to do. So whatever it is that your intuition is calling you to do, whether it's to get out of corporate, whether it's to change jobs, whether it's to start a side hustle, whether it's to write a book or anything else, isn't it time you say yes to your inner voice? Isn't it time you say yes to that yearning? Isn't it time that you start to acknowledge your own greatness? You are great. You know how I know? Because the pedigree of your spirit is written on a single line. The father, the parents of your spirit is, you know, God. God created your spirit. Your body has however many generations. The spirit, that essence, the light and the life inside of you, that's a divine creation. Isn't it time you made a choice to start listening and start saying yes? Whatever your nudges are. To say yes, to make a choice to add good to the world. We're built, both physically and spiritually, to feel best when we're operating in love and service, when we're making a conscious choice to be of value. Almost everyone I talk to says, oh, I love helping people. Well, there's a reason we love that. It feels good. We are built to love and serve each other. Our highest development and greatest joy comes in pursuing the path of service and love, not in pursuing greed. Yes, you need money and all the rest, but how many rich people are miserable and commit suicide and all kinds of other crazy things? We don't need to prove that point. It's obvious. You watch the news. Those that are happy are those that are serving, those that are loving, those that are giving, and I don't mean vows of poverty. I'll say this last thing as we're done today. You can make more money, have bigger impact for good in the world, and have more fun by using your skills, your natural gifts, and your life experience to create an offering to the world that you sell, that you create value with. That offering, that's the combination of your skills, gifts, and life experience, will allow you to make more money, have more fun, and make a bigger impact than anything else that you have to offer the world. And that, my dear friends, is exactly the way to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.